This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 82, Love Affair, Part 2.
It's a funny thing, but the things we like best are either illegal, immoral, or fattening.
Hello and welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We continue with Love Affair, starring the man who inspired the voice of a skunk. That skunk is Pepe Le Pew, the famous cartoon romantic with the French accent, inspired by the mysterious jewel thief in the classic film Algiers, Pepe Le Moko, played by Charles Boyer. Starting out on the stages of Paris in the 1920s, his first attempt at crossing over into Hollywood was not spectacular. But when the silent era ended, and many romantic stars of silent film fell by the wayside when their voices did not match up with their images, Boyer had his chance to step in with that deep, exotic voice of his. He would romance Hedy Lamarr in Algiers, try to drive Ingrid Bergman crazy in Gaslight, and sweep Betty Davis into conspiracy in All This and Heaven Too. You can see how a skunk would be so inspired. This time, Boyer is Michel Marnay, an artist who seems more famous for his romances than for his art. He's on a ship from Europe to New York, on his way to marrying an heiress named Lois Clark. But on board, he crosses paths with Terry McKay, played by Irene Dunne, a singer from the Midwest who's been made respectable by the man she's on her way to marry. Despite their efforts to stay apart and keep gossips away, Terry and Michelle can't seem to stop running into each other, even when the ship makes a stopover in Madeira. Where we left off last time, Michelle took Terry on a visit to his grandmother, a visit which changed all of them to some extent. So, let's find out how the reluctant couple deal with it back on the ship, in part 2 of 3 of Love Affair. That night, on rough waters, Terry and Michelle enter her darkened suite. Regaining his balance from the ship's rocking, Michelle closes the door.
Looks like stormy weather ahead.
You change our course, Nadine. I want to thank you for a lovely evening.
I want to thank you for what was undoubtedly the loveliest day I've ever known.
They hold hands.
You've been very sweet to my little grandmother.
I'm going to write to her.
Oh, that'll be nice. Good night.
But they keep holding hands. Michelle opens the door, hiding their kiss. Terry looks down, then back up at him.
We're heading into a rough sea, Michelle.
He nods. He leaves. Terry turns and stares out at the sea. It does get rougher as the journey progresses toward America. Quickly, they reach the halfway point. Later, as the sea's calm, Terry stands leaning on the railing in a coat and scarf. Wearing a hat, scarf, and trench coat, Michelle descends some stairs and approaches her.
If you say a penny for your thoughts, I'll jump overboard.
I thought you'd gone to bed.
What good would that do? I can't sleep.
Yes, I know. All I seem to do is turn, toss.
Dreaming?
I wouldn't call that dreaming. I'm awake. I'd call it wishing.
My father used to say, wishes are the dreams we dream when we're awake.
Your father said?
He drank a lot.
I wrote a song once about wishing. That's nice.
What?
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, it was.
It was not bad.
You know, one day I'm going to learn your language and be very funny, too.
I'm sorry. How did it go?
Oh, I forget. But it meant If you wish very hard with your mind, and if you wish very strong in your heart, and if you keep on wishing long enough and strong enough...
You get what you want for Christmas?
Yes.
Michelle gazes at her, then out to sea.
We get in the morning. Will he be waiting?
Nodding sadly. She pulls out her latest telegram.
And she?
He searches his coat for his telegram, but doesn't find it.
I suppose if we have something in our minds, we better say it now.
Yes.
You know, I've never worked in all my life. In all my life, I've never worked.
I've been thinking about that.
She looks into the sky, still thinking.
What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
You did, too. You said I was very fond of expensive things, furs and jewels and things.
Did I say that?
She smiles.
I guess you and I have been more or less used to a life of pink champagne. Maybe it'd be a little difficult to... You like beer?
Yes, I do, but...
Oh, no. It's bad for the figure. My father used to say, it's a funny thing, but the things we like best are either illegal, immoral, or fattening. I told you, you drank like a pig.
Their smiles soon fade.
I wonder what your father would think of me. Never working. Not once.
Well, just because you haven't...
Oh, I didn't mean that I couldn't. I know, of course not. But I couldn't find out all at once. It would take me, at least... 6 months to find out if...
If what?
Well, it's hard to say. After all, it's unfair to ask you to take a chance. But if I work hard enough and long enough, and if wishes came true, where would you be?
What are you trying to say, Michelle?
I'm trying to say that it would take me 6 months to find out if I'm worthy to say what's in my heart.
Just about the nicest thing. I think I'll turn in. Do a little more rolling and tossing.
They hold hands.
I'll think it over and let you know in the morning.
She makes sure his scarf is snug.
Going my way?
No. I think I'll walk a little.
They step away from the railing, still holding hands. Then release each other.
Marriage is a very serious step for a girl like me.
Yes, I know.
Do you like children?
Oh, yes, I do.
Smiling, she heads downstairs as he goes back up. Next day, the ship reaches New York City. Terry hurries up on deck to meet Michelle.
I was so worried.
I'm
I was
sorry.
Wondering what...
I didn't even know we were in. I'm only half dressed. Look, if everything turns out all right, for both of us, I mean, in 6 months.
Yes.
That's July.
July, yes.
I've written out these directions.
He takes the note.
Read them carefully so there won't be any mistake.
He does.
Darling, that's me.
She nods.
July 1st, 5 o'clock, 102nd floor, top of the Empire State Building.
Yes.
She points it out in the fog.
That's it right there. It's the tallest building in the world. You can't miss that. The nearest thing to heaven we have in New York. You sure you take the elevator? Well, until we meet again, take care of yourself.
He watches her hurry away and grins, then turns to find the building enveloped in fog. Soon after, a tugboat guides the ship into the harbor. With four other passengers between them, Terry and Michelle wave down at the dock. The man in Terry's picture waves up at her, blowing a kiss. She turns to Michelle, who glances at him and nods questioningly. She nods her answer. And Michelle looks down at him with distaste. He smiles when he looks down at a beautiful woman waving up at him. He turns to Terry, who nods questioningly. He nods his answer and gives a fake smile to his fiancée, who turns to photographers gathered around her taking pictures. She waves again, and Michelle waves back limply. Terry tries to say something to Michelle, but the people between them keep her from doing it. She steps away, and the people turn expectantly to Michelle, who also steps away. His glamorous fiancé hurries up steps to meet him.
Simone, are you saving for the bread?
My God.
They hug as others try to get around them.
Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Did you have a nice crossing?
Yes, I had a very nice crossing.
Miss Clark,
yes.
Call it for still, please.
Yes.
They kiss.
Thank you.
As Terry waits to get past them.
Oh, yes.
They pose cheek to cheek.
That's fine. Now, just one more, Miss Clark, please.
They adopt a welcoming pose.
Will this do?
Oh, that's fine. That's fine, Miss Clark. Thank you.
Sorry, I'll
just one more.
Now, you'll excuse me. I have an appointment.
Smiling awkwardly, Terry makes her way between and past them.
Michael, I'm so glad you're back. No,
Michelle and Lois walk down the stairs toward Terry and her fiancé on the dock.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you tonight. Rough crossing?
Well, you wouldn't exactly call it smooth.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Oh, excuse us.
Terry's fiancé embraces her to let him pass by.
Well, it's great to be back, Ken.
Terry motions to Michelle to move on, and he does. Later, Terry reads a folded newspaper's headline. Marnay, heiress, wed. Ing off, it finishes as she turns it over. She looks up, contented. She stands with her arms around herself. Walking across an apartment to a glass door, she opens it onto a balcony and stands in the doorway looking up dreamily. The glass door opens further, reflecting what she's looking at. The Empire State Building. A maid approaches.
Your truck's arrived. Where's the keys?
Don't unpack, Annie. I'm moving.
Terry closes the door. Later, in Philadelphia, at the Philadelphian, a man walks through the elegant supper club to meet Terry.
Well, lots of good luck.
Thanks.
I hope you'll be working here. The terms are satisfactory, but as I said before...
I know, it's not up to you, it's up to the customer.
That's right. You sing, then we'll talk further.
And if I can't find you, I'll understand.
That's right.
They walk the way he came. And as he stops and waits, she goes on. She steps out on stage before a small orchestra.
Oh, on and see my heart. You know it's free, my heart. So why not show it? Pretend you're glad, my heart. Although you're sad, my heart. He mustn't know.
The patrons watch.
Remember, love is not an easy game. No two hearts ever beat quite the same.
The manager watches the patrons.
Go on and dance, my heart. This is romance, my heart. So keep pretending.
Can make it so. dodging the applause. She steps toward the orchestra, then turns back and curtsies. She hurries back to the smiling manager.
How am I doing, Chief?
That noise is applause, isn't it?
Oh, well, maybe they're applauding your $2 dinner.
He frowns.
I'd like to talk a long contract.
6 months?
That's not a long time.
Oh, yes, it is.
She leaves him. His smile returns as she returns to the stage.
Go on and dance, my heart. This is romance, my heart. So keep pretending.
Later, in a boarding house.
Oh, I brought you something.
An older woman takes a bowl of fruit to Terry.
You're always so nice to me.
Nice? But you are my nicest boarder.
Well, no matter what you say, I'm not going to pay you a cent more.
Oh. Who wants more money? I'm so happy you are here.
You're always happy. What's the secret?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. My place is half empty. I have rheumatism, and my husband left me with 5 children, and they are all ashamed of me.
Sitting up in bed, Terry laughs along.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you shouldn't be sorry. You should be happy. There is no boyfriends calling on you, so you don't get married. And if you don't get married, your children won't be ashamed of you. Well, good night. Don't you read late, because it's bad for your eyes. I'm not going to worry about anything. Oh, you know, I joke a lot about marriage, but it can be a beautiful thing. You know, you should get married if you find the right man. Well, of course, I don't know where you will find him, of course, but don't you marry a loafer like I did. It's just as easy to marry a man with lots of money. Maybe you don't love him at first, but you can teach yourself in 6 easy lessons. Just don't you marry a loafer. I married one. He was a prize winner.
She leaves Terry thoughtful. Weeks later in New York, Michelle meets with a man in a studio. He steps away as the man keeps looking at a painting on an easel.
I was hoping you would like one of... Well, I suppose if I can't sell my paintings, I'll get a job.
Well, I won't give up painting. Why, painting
I'm not
is
going to give it up. This is the only thing I know. But I've got to make money.
A lot of money.
Of course.
In order to make money, you must eat. Even the new money gets hungry, you know.
Later, two painters work on a billboard above a street. They touch up lettering and the edges of a model's legs. One of the painters is Michelle. The man from the studio approaches below.
Michelle! Michelle!
Michelle turns to him.
Oh.
As do people on the street.
I have good news for you.
What?
I sold one.
Which one?
A policeman approaches.
The woman. I got $100 for her.
He notices the policeman staring at him. And Michelle laughs harder, nodding at Michelle and looking at the policeman embarrassed. The man steps away. The other painter turns to Michelle.
What are you so happy about?
I'm a painter.
So am I. But I ain't happy.
They go back to work. Michelle pauses to look up at the Empire State Building, then smiles with his hand on one hip. The days go by, and July 1st arrives. Terry walks into a New York boutique and is met by a saleswoman.
Miss McKay, my dear, my favorite customer. Welcome home.
Thank you.
How well you're looking.
Yes, I know. I didn't get it here.
Where have you been all these months?
Out of town.
Oh, my dear, we've missed you.
Well, I've missed you too, Miss...
Lane.
Miss Lane, I want to get something so beautiful. Simple, you understand, but breathtaking.
Oh, of course. Miss Webb, look who's back.
Oh,
Miss McKay. Dear.
So we were just saying, whatever happened to Miss McKay? And here you are.
Miss Lane makes a call.
Miss McKay is here, and we were just wondering...
Miss McKay is there.
Ken smiles.
Well, give her anything in the shop, but hold her till I get there, will you? You weren't worried about her credit, were you?
Yes. Yes, that's what we were wondering. I knew you'd understand, Mr. Bradley. Thank you so much.
Miss Lane hangs up, satisfied, and goes to Terry and Miss Webb.
I don't think...
Behind Terry's back, she gives Miss Webb a sign that all is well.
Oh, excuse me, please.
Soon after.
Where should we have this sent?
Well, I don't know at the moment. I'll have to call back and let you know.
She pays cash.
No charge?
No.
She steps away from them.
Oh, goodbye, Miss McKay.
And they follow her through the shop.
Yes, don't stay away so long, my dear.
Goodbye, Miss Webb.
Goodbye.
Ken arrives.
Terry.
Ken, what are you doing here? How on earth did you know I was here?
She turns to Lane and Webb.
Oh, I see. What time is it, Ken? I'm late.
5 minutes to 5.
He walks her outside.
It's wonderful to see you again. I've got so much to talk to you about. Can't we go someplace now?
Oh, no, I'm in a hurry.
But I've got so much to say.
Well, call me up sometime. No, you can't do that either, can you, when I'm going to be married?
Oh, then you are going to...
Yes, Ken, and I'm late. What time did you say it was?
4 minutes to 5. It looks like I came all the way down here just to tell you what time it was.
Doesn't yes. Goodbye, Ken.
Goodbye.
She hurries off.
Good luck.
She comes back.
You can imagine how excited I am. I thought 34th Street was that way, and it's down here.
She hurries off the other way, and soon after, a cab pulls up to a corner.
Hey, come on, if I get out here, I'm gonna hurry.
She gets out and pays the cabbie.
They are.
What's the rush?
I'm going to be married, and I'd like you to be the first to congratulate me.
Yes, you can.
Thank you so much.
She rushes off across the street. The cabbie jumps out and follows other people running to the site of the accident. Steps away. Looming above them is the Empire State Building. On the 102nd floor, Michelle checks his watch. He glances around, then checks his watch again. He crosses the observation deck to the elevator, which opens. A couple gets on and another steps off.
Going down?
No.
The attendant closes the elevator. Michelle steps to a railing and turns his back to it, waiting. Barely noticing the siren far below, he straightens his jacket anxiously. Later, the elevator opens and lets out another couple.
Going down?
What time did you get?
10 after 5.
The attendant closes the elevator. Michelle paces to some steps and waits. He waits through dusk. And through an evening thunderstorm, smoking. He stares thoughtfully over the city. The elevator opens.
Going down?
Yeah.
With another drag on a cigarette, Michelle steps onto the elevator, which the attendant closes. In a hospital room, 3 doctors and a nurse leave Ken and a priest at Terry's bedside.
Doctor.
Closing the door, Ken joins them in the hall.
What do you think?
Her x-rays aren't very encouraging. It's hard to say if she'll ever walk again.
We can tell better in about 6 months. Are you the fellow she was yelling about under the anesthetic?
No, that's another chap. She was on her way to marry him.
Has he been notified?
No, she doesn't want that. Because until she knows what you say you won't know for 6 months, she'd rather he didn't know.
That's being sensible. Nice girl.
I think so. Excuse me.
Ken approaches the door again as the doctors walk off. He goes back to Terry and the priest.
Well, we weren't sure whether or not we'd have you with us today.
Terry struggles to speak.
Father, this is the man. You know.
Yes, he explained.
Then you know, I was on my way to be married. While I was on my way to be a good girl, I got hit right in the intersection of 34th and 5th.
The priest tries to get her to rest.
Wasn't anybody's fault but my own. I had an appointment way up. I didn't want to keep him waiting. Oh, it could have been beautiful. Marriage, I mean.
Her face goes blank, and she turns her head away. She turns back to them, smiling.
Forgive me, Father. I'm a little weak. I'm getting out of exercise.
Later, a newspaper announces Michelle is sailing back to Madeira. Leaning on a railing on deck, Michelle smokes and exhales thoughtfully. Upon arrival, he steps up to grandmother's courtyard. The plants and vines are still there, but somehow less verdant. He wanders toward the main house, then picks up his pace to go inside.
Hello.
He looks around the parlor.
Hello.
Turning to the piano, he finds it closed.
Renu.
Later, he steps out of the chapel. He walks slowly across the courtyard and looks down at the high-backed chair where grandmother would sit. He wanders back into the parlor, approaches the piano, and remembers. He stands where he stood when grandmother and Terry made music. Stepping to the chair where grandmother had sat having tea, he runs his hand along it. As he steps in front of it.
Monsieur Michel, she gave me this to send to you.
Emile gives him a package.
I was going to mail it today.
Michel opens it.
She said it was for the young lady that was here with you.
He takes out the white lace shawl as Emile walks away. Michel looks toward the piano again, then at the shawl, and shakes his head. He bundles up the shawl and examines it, dropping it on the table. He goes back to the piano. He looks around. With his hands in his pockets and his expression somber, he wanders off toward the courtyard. Yes, I have to leave it there. Sorry. Remember, though, this is only part 2.
There's a whole other part, so things are bound to get better, right? Well, Terry finds a new purpose in life. Michelle goes back to New York to continue his career. And other stuff happens. In the conclusion of Love Affair, next time on Movies for the Blind. He may have romanced plenty of women on screen, but in real life, Charles Boyer was a one-woman man. He married British actress Pat Patterson in 1934, and they stayed married for 44 years, until Pat died of cancer in 1978. 2 days later, Boyer took his own life. Things are going to get happier next week, I promise, really. I can end on some good news, though. That film, Algiers, with Boyer as Pepe Lamoco, I talked about that at the beginning of the show, it is available now with description. Check for links on the blog. That's where you'll find more information and links about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe. So head to moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. The MP3s are currently being hosted by Blind File Sharing, with easy, affordable, and accessible file storage and transfer with visually impaired users in mind. To find out more, visit blindfilesharing.com. The movies are from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.